Morning, Saskatchewan. Hope your Tuesday's going swimmingly well. A week from today, very special event in Regina, a banquet and induction ceremony for the Western Canada Professional Hockey Scouts Foundation's Hall of Fame. Some very familiar names are going to be there. We'll get into those here in just a bit, but I've got a couple of guests to talk about this event, what's involved and why we're doing it. Ross Mahoney is the Assistant General Manager of the Washington Capitals and board member of the Western Canada Professional Hockey Scouts Foundation. And we find Ross on the line right now. Hey, Ross, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on the show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I'm going to click on this other line where we've got Callie Armstrong joining us right now as well. Callie, granddaughter to Toronto Maple Leafs George Armstrong. Callie, former captain of the Harvard women's hockey team and founder of Armstrong Hockey. Welcome to the Evan Bray Show here, Callie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So first off, a week today, let's start off with you, Ross. We are looking at Truth and Reconciliation Day, which is tied into what we're doing next Tuesday, celebrating Indigenous hockey legends. That's the title on the dinner. So what's the significance of having this event on Truth and Reconciliation Day?
Yeah, we thought it would be a great way to have... honor these players that have Indigenous backgrounds on such a special and important day. And I think it's long overdue what we're doing, celebrating the Indigenous hockey players from Saskatchewan, Western Canada, mostly. So really happy we're able to have this event in Regina.
Sure. Can you give us some idea of some of these legends, who's going to be featured and why their stories are so important?
Yeah, we have Brian Trottier, who's a seven-time Stanley Cup champion, Ron DeLorme. We've got DJ and Dwight King. They're both Stanley Cup champions with, in their respective teams. We've got Richard Pilon, Jordan Tutu, John Morassity, Brent Dodginghorst, Joey Tedarenko. So it's a really good lineup, and we're really looking forward to having a hot stove session with them during the banquet.
I like John Morassity's nickname that you had for him there, too. Nasty Morasty.
Yeah.
It'll be a great event. How do you see sport, and in particular the game of hockey, fit into the bigger conversation of reconciliation? Why do you think it's important?
I think that it's sport is a great way to be able to help younger people, male and female, to learn so much about life, and I think it's we're trying to help kids that probably don't have the same opportunities that some other children might have. And so I think it's really important to be able to get them involved in hockey and just a lot of life lessons can be learned.
So tell me a bit about the work of this Western Canada Professional Hockey Scouts Foundation. I got to admit, I hadn't heard of you till now.
We started it about 3 years ago. It's a nonprofit organization. There were two reasons really for us to start. One was to recognize scouts for all the time and effort that they had put into scouting. We didn't want to lose those older scouts and that were the icons of our sport. We have a display in the Okotoks Arena, which kind of honors them, and we've had some banquets, a couple banquets to honor the scouts and put them on that display. And the second, big reason for our Western Canada Foundation is to give back to the communities that we live in and to help people that are in need. And we've done that with, from the other banquets with the Kidney Foundation in BC. We've helped a young man make a Wish Foundation, be able to go to a Chicago, Vancouver NHL game. We've worked with the Bear Clan group in Calgary who helped street people in Calgary. We've helped a couple scouts in need. And we've targeted three different groups in Regina with our banquet. We are going to help the Circle Project. We're going to be helping Rancherlo Outdoor Hockey League, and we're also going to be helping Kids Sport.
Boy, that's a wonderful initiative that you've undertaken. So, again, we're a week away from this event, a week today. Tickets are still available?
Yes, they are. Yeah, just have to type in Western Pro Scouts. It'll take you right to the website. And the tickets are $150 a piece or a table for eight for $1,100.
Callie Armstrong patiently hanging on the line here as well, Callie, and we appreciate you giving us some time here today. Of course, you're one of the people that is going to be recognized that we were talking about at this event a week from tonight. Talk to me a little bit about your time as a hockey player, and especially, you know, team captain of Harvard. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, you know, fell into hockey quite naturally, of course, with my grandfather, who I looked up to quite significantly. So he was kind of my hero growing up, and I just wanted to kind of, you know, follow in his footsteps. So, I was lucky enough to get recruited to play at Harvard and had an amazing time there was lucky enough to be called captain by my teammates. So it was a great experience.
And what about your story today? You've got Armstrong Hockey. What's all going on in your life?
Yeah. So I started Armstrong Hockey in 2019 in honor of my grandfather and kind of his life journey. And, the whole point of Armstrong Hockey is to provide accessible hockey development and mentorship for Indigenous youth. And I work primarily across Ontario, traveling to different communities. I was just up in Cochrane this past weekend with NHL alum Rick Natras, which was fantastic. And so, yeah, it's amazing for me to be able to connect with different communities across Ontario and learn about, you know, each First Nation and get to know the kids there as well. So really lucky to do that work.
You mentioned your grandfather, George Armstrong. What was it like growing up being his granddaughter? And you talked about his inspiration. What was that for you in your life?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you kind of, the older you get, you kind of realize, you know, the impact that he had on the hockey community and the impact that he had on Indigenous people. You know, it wasn't common to see a Native person playing in the NHL at the time. And so he paved a significant path. And what I was most proud of with my grandfather was just his humility, his perseverance. But he was just so humble, and he just had a knack for making people laugh. And so he spread a lot of laughter around, and it's what I try to continue to do, but so proud of his accomplishments.
And you even wrote a doctorate, I understand, talking about your grandfather.
Yeah, I actually completed my master's on my grandfather and all of his stories, and that was a great project for me because I was able to record just hours of us sitting together and just listening to his storytelling. And then I kind of morphed that into a PhD, which also told the story of residential school survivors, and I combined that with the sport of hockey and how, you know, sport is, you know, it's a big thing for Indigenous people, and especially during the residential school era. There's a lot of complexities to sport in that era, but obviously I'm really excited to celebrate our Indigenous hockey legends here coming up next week.
Oh, of course, celebrating Indigenous hockey legends. And how does that feel? You're one of the legends that they're going to be celebrating.
I don't know if I deserve that title, but I'm really happy to be there and really honored to be a part of this group and represent my grandfather.
Oh, that's lovely. All happening at the Kinexus Arts Center a week today, 5 till 10. And again, if we want to get tickets, remind me again how we get those tickets, Ross.
Yep, you can go just type in Western Pro Scouts, and it'll take you right to the website. And it's $150 for a single and $1,100 for a table of eight.
Oh, it'll be a wonderful evening. Thanks so much, both of you, for giving us some of your time today.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, Evan Brasho, cool event that's happening a week tonight, celebrating Indigenous hockey legends. The dinner and special evening with special guests, again, happening in Regina on Truth and Reconciliation Day. Wonderful event and some very special guests that are going to be there as well. Brent Laux filling in. You're listening to The Evan Brasho on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Till 12:30 today, and then one more day for me tomorrow filling in on the Evan Brasho. Evan will be back in the chair coming up here on Thursday. busy out on the family farm these days. And boy, whether it's Evan's family on the combine or all the other farm folks out there, we're still behind as far as the five-year average on the harvest, but we'll be getting an updated crop report this week, which will show some increased numbers there. And this weather certainly making things move along a whole lot better. I was talking earlier about the survey of Canadian restaurant and home eating habits. It's the 2025 Food Service Facts Report that was released yesterday, showing, you know, a lot of this, you just go, well, no big surprise. Cost of living, the cost of everything is up. The whole idea of, as one of our listeners said, I wouldn't maybe be so inclined to not go out if I wasn't pressured to put a 20% tip on the bill. Yeah, and that's all part of the cost, isn't it? Delivery costs, that sort of thing, and just the price of food for restaurants. You go to the grocery store yourself, you see what the price of meat is. Like, for goodness sakes, to have a steak and go to a restaurant and have a steak, it's challenging times. But it was interesting just seeing what some people were saying, what they do. And Tammy, I like how you're thinking. Tammy texted in and said, you know, I have cereal for supper quite often. And I got to say, you know, Tammy, I kind of do that every once in a while, too, partly because of my metabolism, I guess we could say. You know, I always get up early, early in the morning. So I find I tend to have my biggest meal often is lunchtime. That makes sense. And so when it does roll around to dinner time, say 6 o'clock in the evening, my wife will say, let's cook a couple of pork chops or something. I go, you know, I'm fine just with a bowl of cereal. Just the way I don't like going, and I go to bed early. So I don't like going to bed with a full belly. So I like how you're thinking, Tammy, as far as your cereal preference. Do we go down that road? There's so many cereals. You know, I'm a bit of a Raisin Bran guy, but I find Raisin Bran sometimes is unpredictable. Sometimes the raisins are too tough and chewy. So Raisin Bran, as long as it's fresh, okay? I like shredded wheat as well. I like Cheerios if I can have fruit on my Cheerios, be it, you know, banana or maybe some raspberries. I don't shop for a lot of different cereal. I'm kind of, I know what I want when I go. It's either going to be Raisin Bran, shredded wheat, or Cheerios that I'll grab. And yeah, I try to get the bigger box because, like Tammy, I sometimes enjoy having cereal for my dinner meal. If you've got some quirky preference like that, we'd love to hear from you at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Did you catch any of Donald Trump speaking at the United Nations? It's fascinating how time has changed things, right? He spoke at the United Nations in his first term. I don't think too many people took him serious. In fact, I think he had a fair amount of laughs in that first term address to the United Nations. But boy, how the tables have turned. He had the eyes and ears of the world on him, and he went on. It was a lengthy speech. I think he went better part of an hour, 50 minutes or so. He had lots to say, and he took some shots at the UN for not living up to their mandate.
What is the purpose of the United Nations? The UN has such tremendous potential. I've always said it. It has such tremendous, tremendous potential, but it's not even coming close to living up to that potential. For the most part, at least for now, all they seem to do is write a really strongly worded letter and then never follow that letter up. It's empty words, and empty words don't solve war.
Say what you will about Trump, he calls it like he sees it. He's not afraid to speak his mind on pretty well any topic. He had lots to say. Of course, he's also expressing concern at Canada and the large number of other nations that have come out in support of a Palestinian state. Both the U.S. and, of course, Israel are opposed to that. And in his speech to the United Nations, Trump referred to the destruction caused by Hamas that has resulted in this ongoing destruction in Gaza. He also made, I thought, a pretty interesting invitation to the rest of the world.
Well, I've come here today to offer the hand of American leadership and friendship to any nation in this assembly that is willing to join us in forging a safer, more prosperous world. And it's a world that we'll be much happier with. A dramatically better future is within our reach. But to get there, we must reject the failed approaches of the past and work together to confront some of the greatest threats in history.
U.S. President Donald Trump, and just very small snippet of his address to the General Assembly of the United Nations in New York. I had to laugh too early on in his presentation. And, you know, he tends to, go off topic a little bit occasionally. But he was talking about the billions of dollars that had been budgeted for the renovation, expansion of the buildings at the United Nations in New York. And he said not that many years ago, while he was, of course, a real estate developer, he offered to do the entire project, he said, for $500 million. And last count, he said it was $4 or $5 billion. And he said they still had done a terrible job on it. So you can make the developer a president, but you still keep the developer in there. Some of the comments from Donald Trump today. I just want to go back to that restaurant survey, the food service facts survey. One other area of it that I hadn't mentioned, we were talking about Canadians are eating out less often. No big surprise there. People are certainly being a lot more particular when they're doing their grocery shopping. And yet, what was interesting in that, there was an increase in people that are ordering food for delivery. So people are still wanting restaurant food, maybe not so inclined to go out. So 64% of Canadians in this survey said they ordered delivery and have replaced a traditional meal with snacking, which was part of our conversation about a listener who was saying she often has cereal for supper time. Well, one other aspect of that report is this. Does this sound like you? Have you reduced the amount of alcohol that you've been drinking over the past year? This report says 41% of Canadians have actually lessened their alcohol consumption. And again, that's not surprising. Have you checked out the price of a lot of alcohol these days? You know, if you want an occasional glass of wine or an occasional cold beer, I'm guessing that's not such a big impact. But, you know, if you're planning on throwing big parties or having the neighbors and family over for a big barbecue in the backyard, I think more and more people would be saying, yeah, it's BYOB, because, as we say, price of everything going up. And it's not a bad thing that people are drinking less, right? Okay, we got to take care of the news here in just a moment. We've still got an hour to go, though, on the Evan Bray Show, and still to come after 11:30 here. We're going fishing with 18-year-old Winston Stockdale. You may recall, if you're a regular listener of the Evan Bray Show, I chatted with Winston earlier, I think it was back in August, maybe, might have been late July, but he had just an amazing summer with his younger brother. They won the Premier's Cup fishing tournament up at Tobin this summer, and they also wrapped up the season with a win on the Last Mountain Fall Walleye Classic. Like, what's their secret? How are they so good at this early age of catching all these quality fish? And some of the technicalities involved in fish tournaments these days, we'll get more on that here coming up in just a few minutes' time. Thanks for listening on this beautiful Tuesday, our first full day of fall. Brent Laux with you on the Evan Bray Show, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.